Good morning, church. It almost looks like there's more cars than people. I don't know if there's people hiding in different places of the building. We do have some people serving in different places. Did we close the cafe? Did we do that? Okay. All right. Speaking of the cafe and people serving, two announcements. I think Nicole probably made them, but just reinforcements. Children's ministry, there is room in children's ministry. See this woman running right here? She's probably got a children's ministry issue to deal with. No, cash in the box. Hallelujah. Anyway, listen, when we talk about serving in children's ministry, it doesn't mean you sign up and then you're thrown back there and abandoned. If you have an interest in coming alongside somebody that's teaching back there, you want to model with them for a while, be a helper in the classroom so you can see what it's like. See Heidi after the service. She'll be out back because we don't have enough people serving. And there's also check-ins, people checking in, your kids and those kinds of things. There's a whole bunch of different ways to serve. Now, that's if you're gifted, called by the Lord, and have a love for children. If you have a pulse, okay, and you're willing to serve in this church, male or female, see St. Nicholas in the back there, and he will put you to work. There is room for you to serve. Got that out of the way. Happy Lord's Day to you all. What a beautiful, rainy, 43-degree day in Maine. Most of you are sitting here sunburned, which makes it even the more funny from our midweek, but we are grateful that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. This morning, we're going to begin a new book, 2 Timothy. So perfect timing if it's your first time with us this morning, and I met somebody first time with us this morning. Glad to have you. Those of you that are new to Bible study may or may not know this, may or may not care about this. In the Old Testament, we really see a chronology of books that sort of laid out how things happen, not exactly. But we see less of that in the New Testament. And again, some people care about those things, some people don't. At times like these, I think it's important to understand those things because we know that Paul has been imprisoned at different times in his ministry. If you read the end of the book of Acts, we see that he was imprisoned and then he was let out for a season and then imprisoned again. And the reason why this is important to me is this is the last of the recorded letters that we have of the Apostle Paul. And I think he knew it would be. I think he had a sense that the end was near and that these would be final words. And final words carry weight. So yes, he was senior pastor or older pastor writing to a younger pastor. And again, where this is his last letter, Timothy is no longer a young man, probably middle-aged here, has some years under his belt as a pastor now. But this letter was meant to be read. This letter was meant to be distributed. This letter was meant to be shared with the churches about the things to come. So there's a heaviness and an importance as Paul gives these last words to the church. So the message this morning is entitled, Stir Up the Gift. Would you do me a favor? We don't always do this, but would you stand this morning so we can give honor to the reading of God's word? Just the first few verses here. He writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Father, we've gathered here this morning as your people with the desire to receive from you all that you have for us, Lord. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. It's in Jesus' name. And they all said, Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Last words, they carry weight. And it's as if Paul was asked, the time is short, the end is near. Break it down for us, brother. Keep it simple. What must we know? And he begins with a simple greeting to a son in the faith. In verse 1, again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So Paul was not an apostle. Paul was not an impossible burger. Paul was not an apostle because he declared himself to be so. Not because he strived to be so. Not because it was something he wanted to do. Not because he went to school for it or trained for it or was an apostle apprentice that got promoted. Paul was chosen by God. He was an apostle by the will of God. Verse 2, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So two things of importance here. Paul calls Timothy a beloved son. We know that he was not his biological son. We're told in Acts chapter 16 that Timothy's dad was a Greek, and it appears as we look at the rest of the scriptures that he was a non-believer, but he was a son in the faith. And then we have this greeting, grace, mercy, and peace. And Paul begins all of his New Testament letters addressed to Christians with grace and peace, except for three. Three of those letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, which we call the pastoral epistles, those letters written to pastors. To them, Paul says, grace and mercy. Everyone gets grace and peace, but there's this special group of guys that Paul says really needs your mercy. So remember, grace is getting what we don't deserve, right? None of us have earned eternal life. None of us have earned salvation. None of us have earned forgiveness. And the Bible says, yet by grace, or for by grace, you've been saved. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. That's grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. So Paul says when your pastor messes up and you want to punch him in the nose, maybe he deserves to be punched in the nose, but love him instead. Give him mercy. He talks a lot, he serves a lot, which gives him a lot more opportunity to mess up than most people. So for our pastors, grace, mercy, and peace. In other words, be easy on Pastor Jim, would you? Have mercy on him and I. We're going to mess up. We're actually good at it. I promise you it's not on purpose. Most of the time, we don't even know we're messing up. Is that right? Yeah. So mercy to your pastors. Verse 3 says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Just as Paul considered Timothy a son in the faith, he references here true followers of God, not the Pharisees, not the religious guys, but the true followers of God that came before him as his forefathers. And he tells Timothy, son, I don't just think happy thoughts towards you. I'm faithful to pray for you continuously, night and day. I pray for you. I welcome that. Anyone that wants to faithfully pray for me, faithfully pray for my family, pray for Jim's family. We're grateful for prayer warriors here. Verse 4, he says, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul says, I really want to see you, Timothy. Probably here remembering tears from the last time they were together, or maybe the last time they had to say goodbye, and a reunion would bring joy. Ministry does that sometimes, right? Ministry separates us for a season, and it's always joyful when we come back together again and hear about what's going on, what the Lord's doing in each other's lives. Nicole and I were actually spending some time this week just rejoicing about the thing God's doing in some of your lives, how cool it is. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He can't wait to gather together again with him. In verse 5, he writes, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Now, I think this is a special little nugget. You might put that down on your growth group homework. For some of you moms and grandmoms, why do I say that as we read it? I mean, it's typically a verse we just read through, kind of give Timothy's history. Remember I said that Timothy's dad was a Greek. Timothy's dad probably was not a believer. And Paul looks at Timothy and he recognizes this genuine faith that's in him. In another one of his letters in Philippians, which Pastor Jim is teaching through, he says that no one is like-minded with him, like Timothy, except for Timothy. And he says the origin of this faith was first in his mom and in his grandmother. So moms and grandmoms that are trying to have an influence in the lives of your kids or your grandkids, and it doesn't seem to be supported by their dad or their parents, don't give up. I just had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to attend a pastors and leaders conference a couple of weeks ago, and for those that were present, there was an opportunity to stand and request prayer if you had a prodigal child in your life. And several did. But then after that, a prodigal child being one that used to walk with the Lord, knows the truth, but then has exercised their free will and walked away. And the brokenness and the burden of those men there that were standing. But that was followed by an encouragement for those that were present that were at one time prodigals to come up front. And to let those see that are still praying for their kids the evidence of the power of prayer. And then to hear some of them testify that their mom or their grandma prayed faithfully for them for 10 years, for 12 years, for 15 years. And the very reason that they were present at this conference is that now, today, somewhere in some way, God is using them in ministry. Such a powerful, powerful example. So keep praying. Keep going on with your prayers. Keep trying to influence. Don't give up. Keep persevering. Jump through the hoops and pour into those kids every chance that you get. Verse 6, Paul goes on. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And I want to draw your attention to this verse this morning. And not just because it's where the title of our message came from, but because it's where the Lord kept bringing me back to as I spent time in this passage all week. I also had several conversations this week with people that kept coming back to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the first thing I want you to take notice of is that this is addressed to Timothy. Oftentimes we get it in ourselves when we have questions about these things, but this is a pastor talking to another pastor. Timothy's one that is being used to teach the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to minister to the people. He's actively being used by God, faithfully serving God, yet Paul's reminding him to stir up the gift of God. And this isn't really the first time either. If you were with us as we went through 1 Timothy, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, he exhorts or encourages this pastor, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Now I know when we teach through the Word and we get to one of these areas where it talks about spiritual gifts, some of you get kind of fascinated with that kind of stuff. Some of you get sort of frightened or maybe a little weirded out by stuff like that. We know that what comes from the Lord is neither weird nor scary. Even if we're unfamiliar with it, even if we're not completely comfortable with it. I was brought up in a church that believed that the gifts were no longer for today, and the things of the Holy Spirit were not really welcomed in that place. I've been to a lot of churches that say they believe the things that we read, but don't practice the things that we read in the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit isn't really welcomed there. I've been to gatherings where there was definitely life and definitely activity. I'm just not convinced that it was the Holy Spirit that was to blame for all of what was going on there. As God is a God of order, right? God is not a God of chaos. So what is the deal with these gifts, and what are these gifts? Maybe you've read through, or you've been with us as we've gone through some of these books, or maybe you've just tried to find them in your Bibles. There's several different places, actually, that lists out different gifts or different manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12 is one of them, if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is another place, and then it's expanded upon in chapters 13 and chapter 14. Ephesians chapter 4 is another place. Actually, there it more lists offices in the church, so not as much spiritual gifts. And then if you go through those lists, you'll notice a couple of things, or at least I do when I look at them. One, they're not the same. They're not identical. So they also may not be entirely inclusive, but things that we do see listed there, and you may be more or less familiar with some of these, but we see things like tongues or interpretation of tongues. We see prophecy or speaking forth the word of God for the building up of others. You'll see things like serving. We talked about serving this morning, that actually can be a spiritual gift. Let's see what else I have here. Teaching, exhortation or encouraging, giving. Giving can actually be a spiritual gift. The Lord has blessed you with much, and it's more blessed to give than to receive, and that's something the Lord has laid on your hearts. For others of you, it's really, really hard to give. But there's actually a spiritual gift of giving, spiritual gift of leadership, mercy, wisdom, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment. When the Lord helps you to be able to understand, is this person being truthful with me or not? Or there's something that's not right here. Helps, administration, hospitality. Some of you are strongly gifted with hospitality. And I don't have to say who, because you all know who, because they've had you in their homes. So there's a diversity of gifts when we go through those different lists. And perhaps some of you guys have taken a spiritual gift inventory, trying to discover or to figure out what your spiritual gift or gifts are. And that's okay. I'm not opposed to those things per se. I just don't think that they're always necessary. It's okay also to desire certain gifts. Right? The Bible talks about earnestly desiring the best gifts. But then the Bible tells us, hey, you don't get to pick your gift, right? The Holy Spirit decides. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as the Holy Spirit wills. The Holy Spirit decides and the Holy Spirit distributes. The Bible also tells us that every single one of you that claims the name of Christ. Every single one of you that is a Christian has a spiritual gift or has spiritual gifts. Right, 1 Corinthians, try to put the scriptures up so you guys know this is coming from the Word of God. I have very little to offer you other than the truth that's in this book. Okay, but it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There's a lot of teaching in that, right? We don't get a gift to glorify ourselves. We don't get a gift for the benefit of ourselves. But when we are born again and the Spirit of God comes in us, we are each given a gift. And then we read things about Timothy, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, that later, after he was saved, hands were laid on him, they prayed, and he received another gift that was obvious and evident to him and others. So Paul doesn't have to name it here. Timothy knows what he's talking about. But the gifts that we have are for the benefit of the church. So in order for the church to function properly, we all need to be exercising our gifts, walking in our gifts. Some gifts are continuous, like a gift of teaching. You've been given a gift of teaching, a gift of evangelism, maybe. Nicole, we were talking about it the other day, and she referred to it as, these are just kind of gifts that you are these things. You are a teacher. You are an evangelist. And that makes sense. They're continuous and ongoing. Others might be situational, circumstantial, or conditional. What do I mean by that? A one-time supernatural gift of faith. This would weird you out any other time. If somebody asked you if you could do this, there is no way you'd get sick, pass out. Kind of how I feel about teaching, getting up in front of people, honestly. So it's a gifting of the Spirit when I'm up here. But it's sort of like that. Or a gift of healing. A one-time gift. You pray for somebody. You pray in faith. You ask God to heal. And God heals them. And then the next three people you pray for die. Yeah, well, I hope not, but I'll stick to the notes. Hold on. But that's what I mean. Not if you get the gift of healing, you should be right down at the NICU unit full time, you know, exercising that gift down there. But there are situations like that where the Lord grants a gift, and it's for that time and for that purpose, for the benefit of the church, for the benefit of all. It is the power of God working through the people of God for the glory of God. And it's God that we should be seeking, right? The giver of the gifts, not just the manifestation of His Spirit. So here's what we know from this verse. Again, people prayed for Timothy and he received a gift. So if every Christian has a gift for the benefit of the body of Christ that you receive at the time of salvation, and then people later laid hands on Timothy, then that means that we may be able to receive more than one gift, right? If that's what the Spirit wills for us. So I'm a pastor teacher. That's a gift the Lord has given, and I walk in that gift, but that's not the only spiritual gift that I have. Timothy had a gift, again, that others were aware of. He was aware of it. Was obvious, but it had begun to smolder, right? It was something that had to be stirred up. I know that some of you, maybe you're a brand new Christian, or maybe like me, you became a Christian in a church that never ever talked about these things, never taught about these things, or maybe you're in a church that taught about these things but never practiced these things. Or you haven't seen good examples of these things. Now, I know some of your minds are going to sign gifts, show gifts, but even these serving or faith or mercy or those gifts that the Lord gives, maybe you're a Christian, you don't know what your gift is. Or you haven't had opportunity to exercise your spiritual gift. And I'm talking to Christians when I'm saying this. Okay, if you're not a Christian, I'm not talking to you because your spirit is not alive. You're spiritually dead. And we can deal with that after the service. Please, please, please come up for prayer. But this is for you Christians that have been struggling with this. You're not sure What your gift is, you have a desire to be used by God, a desire to bless His church. You just don't know what gift He's given to you. If that's you, I want you to take a bold step of faith this morning and just slip a hand up in the air. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Just slip a hand up so I can pray for you. Okay. That's a cool thing. We're going to take care of this in a minute here. This is not for you Christians like Timothy, okay, that have needs a fire rekindled. This is for you who really just don't know what your spiritual gift is from God. You haven't recognized it. The people around you haven't recognized it. It hasn't been identified, and you want God to do that this morning. You just want God to either give it or to identify it, and we're going to pray for you. But let me tell you what this is, and let me tell you what this isn't, okay? We're in the middle of a Bible study, right? Inspired by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is working through that. The Bible also says the Spirit of God doesn't interrupt the Spirit of God. So I'm going to pray, but then this is not a spiritual gifts talent show where we're going to bust these things out, okay? So if you're here this morning, if you're watching online, you're at home, and it's like, man, this is me. I don't know, and I haven't been doing this, and I want to know. If you're at home or you're in the baby nursery or in the cafe or out back in the lobby, take a step of faith and raise your hand as well. Anyone else that didn't and now knows you should? Just don't know what it is and you want to know. All right. Cool. Well, let's pray. Lord, I know that you've seen every hand in this room or in homes or at work or out back that has taken a step of faith and raised their hand out of a desire to be used by you, Lord. Jesus, this is your church. These gifts are to be used to bring you glory and to build up your church. So, Lord, would you pour out your Spirit here this morning and give every good gift according to your will. Lord, would you reward those that lifted their hands in faith this morning and pour out your gifts that they would know, that the people around them would know, that things have changed. They've received this from you and will begin to walk in that gift and exercise that gift, all governed by and in your love. The people around them this week, Lord, would just know that things have changed. Something's different. And like with Timothy, it'd be recognized by them and by others. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's another group of people here this morning. Those of you old, moldy on the vine Christians. You don't give to the church because all churches want from people is money, or you don't serve because no one else knows how to do things right, or things aren't organized enough for you, or maybe your feelings got hurt somewhere along the lines, probably this morning during this message. But those of you that know that the Lord has given you gifts that you've allowed to smolder, or maybe the bright kindling that first started has started going out and the hardwood has never really caught. And like Timothy, like Pastor Timothy, you need God to stir that up. Stir up that flame. Blow on that ember to ignite the fire. And maybe it's just kind of turned to smoke. Or maybe you've grown stagnant. Such a descriptive word, isn't it? I say stagnant, and you can see stagnant. You can smell stagnant. Don't get offended. Have mercy for you, Pastor. And look, I may not be talking to you at all. Holy Spirit might be talking to you. But I might not be talking to you if you're on fire. if you're fully functioning on all cylinders, walking in the Spirit, blessing the body of Christ in love, and using your gifts, then this isn't for you. But there are some, I know, I'm one of them, that the Holy Spirit wants to stir up and wants to flame into fire so that this church can be all that God wants it to be. So if there's been some smoldering of your gift for whatever reason, and you want prayer, take a bold step of faith. Raise a hand with me. Anybody? All right. I'll look around so you can make fun of these people, so you can judge these people. Now, if you're doing that, slip your hand up. This pastor had to do this and trust God to bring life into that gift. So let's pray. Lord, there's nothing else to do, Lord. We repent. We acknowledge, God, that all good things come from above. We believe what your word says, God, that your gifts or for the good of this body, for the benefit of others, for your glory. And Lord, we must exercise those gifts. And if we have a role to play in your church, Lord, and your word says that we do. Lord, if some of us have grown weary, some of us have let fear stop us. Lord, we're asking in faith, corporately, that you would stir up those gifts, God, and fan them into a holy fire. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're good, right? I mean, everybody should be on fire. Let me tell you something. The fear and the doubt that are going to follow this is not from God. In my experience, the biggest hindrance to Christians exercising the gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit is fear. Fear that it's not really God. Fear that they're going to mess up. Fear that they're going to do something wrong. And Paul talks about that in our very next verse. Verse 7, it says, but verse 2 Timothy, there we go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So homework for you guys, memorize this verse this week. You got homework on the back table if you're in a growth group too. But I want you to learn this verse this week, because if you raised your hand, and I'm assuming if you didn't know what your gift was, that you're going to this week. If you've known what your gift was and it's smoldered into smoke and the Lord inflames that, then you're on fire and ready to be used. There's another group that didn't raise their hands. I'm assuming either you're not Christians or you're already there. So this church is ready to do business. But when these fears kick in this week, because that's the deal with the enemy, when fear tells you, no, don't talk to that person after work, Or don't call your brother, or don't call your sister, or your father, or your mother, or your uncle, or whoever that person is. Don't call them and tell them that you love them and Jesus has a better plan for their life. When fear tells you not to, I want you to remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear. If the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do something, the Holy Spirit will tell you, don't do that. Or don't do that now. In this particular situation, not now. But that's different than fear. When you get thoughts like I do sometimes, why would they listen to you? Or you're not the Apostle Paul? Or the Apostle Paul only said he was chief of all sinners because he didn't know you. Or what if they ask you a question? What do you know? Those fears and those doubts that keep us from doing those things, they're not from God. That garbage, that fear, is from the enemy. Those are the things I hear sometimes. But then the Spirit of God brings to remembrance that God has not given me a spirit of fear, right, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, meaning I'm not crazy. That's another lie we hear, right? It's the people of God operating in the power of God, exercising the gifts of God, bringing glory to God is the sanest thing that us image bearers of God can do. Let's continue on. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I think sometimes we think that right now, today, is the toughest time it's ever been to be a Christian, right? It's like we're the only group of people that it's open season on all year round. But I want you to consider when this letter was written, right? Timothy is preaching a crucified Savior. His Lord was nailed to a cross and died, and he's preaching him as Savior, and his pastor is in jail. And he needed God to stir up those gifts. He couldn't do it in the flesh. Gang, we can't do this in the flesh. Paul says, don't be ashamed. Don't forget that Jesus abolished death and brought eternal life through the gospel. And we get to share that with people. Verse 11 says, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. And then he says this to Timothy, and he says this to us. Hold fast. Faithful endurance, gang. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. We don't know a whole bunch about these guys. If you know anything about these guys or you read anything about these guys, it's all speculation because this is the only place that we see their names in all of the scriptures. We know that they didn't hold fast. Right? We know that they didn't remain faithful. They did not endure as we're called to endure. Wouldn't you hate to have your name in the Bible for that? We're called to endure. We're called to hold fast. The chapter ends with an example of faithful endurance. Chapter 16, or verse 16, it says, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. Now, he says this after he says, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Can you imagine? Paul's his pastor, yes, but Paul's the guy that wouldn't shut up about Jesus. He keeps getting bounced in jail, bounced out of jail, bounced back, and he's about to be put to death for it. And this guy, Onesiphorus, is going around. It says that he was sought me out very zealously and found me. How does that happen? Hey, have you seen that guy that talks about Jesus all the time, that stirs up you Romans? That you have you seen him? Where can I find him? Oh, he's in a dungeon over there. He's in jail. Oh, show me where. Zealous for the gospel. Zealous for opportunity to encourage. Zealous for opportunity to serve. He often refreshed me. He wasn't ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously, and he found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Listen, it's a good stopping point. We're at the end of a chapter. Faith. Our very faith is a gift from God. If you raise your hand this morning, ask for faith to believe that God did something. Ask for God to show you this week, for other people to confirm this thing that he did that you know that he did, that you know that you know. He's promised it in his word. And if you're one of the old moldy on the vine Christians, you are not any longer that. All things made new over and over again. Timothy had to do it. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you don't stick us on a shelf, that you're not done with us, Lord. That's why we're still here. It blows me away, Lord, that in these latter days, you've chosen us to be in these hard places like Maine. Lord, we're not down in the Bible Belt or in Texas or someplace where everybody seems to be a Christian. You've, in a sense, put us behind enemy lines, Lord. You've chosen us for this hard duty, this mission field that you've given us here in Maine. And Lord, we've acknowledged before you this morning that this is not something we can do on our own. It's not something we can do in the power of flesh. But Lord, we need you to fan these gifts into fire, Lord, and to be used to encourage one another, to support one another, to have mercy with one another. Lord, just to make this place work so that we can do your work out in the world. So Lord, pour your spirit out in this place, we pray. This week, encourage the saints. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.